another fine show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio is the radio show that is changing the world through science and spirituality as we realize that our well-being and our happiness is through our own thoughts. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio, the jewels. Welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Tonight we have Lee Harris taking over for me with his energy forecast and the goodies that he's been saving up all month for us. I also want to remind everyone that on November 3rd, just a few short days ago, the Mayan calendar's seventh day began and will be continuing until October 28th, 2011. Now, amazingly, the Mayan calendar also predicted the outcome of this most historic election that just occurred. So I think it's worth noting that the seventh day means that we are now on the upswing. Monitoring your thoughts is more important than ever because you will be manifesting at a very high speed. Pay close attention to what Lee is suggesting in his energy forecast for November, because I believe he is right on target. Now, I also want to mention before I bring Lee out that we have a brand new show coming in from Australia next week. Please check out Melody Green's Creative Soul Cafe, where she is going to be serving up big spoons of good feelings with bunches of smiles in every show. You're going to love Melody, and she is going to really help you stay connected to those good feelings. And also, don't forget to get empowered for success with Jeremiah LeBlanc. What a dynamic speaker he is. You can find these incredible shows and more right here on Law of Attraction Radio Network. You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at loaradionetwork.com. Now get ready to hear some fabulous information from my monthly co-host, Lee Harris. Take it away, Lee.
Hello, and welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Lee Harris, and I'll be your host for this show. Well, what a month it's been. And firstly, apologies to all of you. I have a little bit of a cold, and it started coming on quite strongly last night when I was due to record the show. So waiting overnight doesn't seem to have improved things, but I'm hoping that you can all hear me okay, even though I might be a bit more nasal this month. I think, for me, the cold is perfect. I think it's part of my clearing process as we're all going through this almighty wave of change, this quickening that we're in right now, this time period, and we're getting very, very close to 2011, which for me feels very exciting, having gone through the last few years and reading the energies of where we're heading and how things are beginning to solve. It really feels like, while we're still in some ways exploring crisis as a world and experiencing crises in order to move forward, there is also a very definite movement of solution and forward thinking and the future beginning to reappear both in society and in individuals. And I think for the last two or three years, a lot of the world and the processes for people have been focused on change, destruction, letting go in powerful ways, certainly more powerful ways than ever before, so that we just get better at this practice of letting go all the time, you know, letting go of whatever we're attached to in our lives, whatever story we're attached to. This, of course, helps with manifesting. The more we can let go, the more we can bring in what it is we want more of. So I hope you have a wonderful November. I've already written a energy forecast for this month, which I posted on my blog, on my website, a few days ago. So in a moment, I'm going to read you the November energy forecast. But for those of you who would like to see it in written form, then you can visit my website, which is leeharrisenergy.com. And there is a blog page where I post my energy forecasts each month and articles from time to time. So let's kick off this month's radio show with the November energy forecasts, which I'll read for all of you now. The world is dividing into two camps, those under the wave of change and those riding it. This month will see you falling very strongly into one or the other, and whichever side you land on, it will be a relief. Those of you choosing to go under the wave will drop a lot of baggage from the past, more quickly and effortlessly than before, although some unexpected catalysts may be part of that experience. Those of you riding the wave will continue to feel the gratitude you have been accessing recently, simply for the gift of life, especially when seeing the struggles in the world and for your loved ones. Your compassion and heart energy will amplify for others, and you will find yourselves helping out, being a shoulder, or lending an ear to those around you. This will feel very good to many of you to offer this role, especially those of you who have been hermit-like in recent years. This is your time to help those in the trenches, and it will feel good to do so. If you recognize yourself this month as being mostly under the wave, for example, having difficulties, dealing with challenging situations or challenging relationships, then choose to focus your energy on letting go of whatever you are holding on to that is troubling you. That will be the way forward and back to center, and out of the frenzy now rising in people and tempting to get caught up in. So you may say, I don't know how to let go of whatever it is I'm holding on to. But remember, you're never too old to change an ingrained pattern. The power of your intention is far stronger than you were ever led to believe in times past. So let your intention start the work today. Just hold an intention for release, and the means and ways in which to facilitate that release can and will appear. For example, many times I have not known how, but have just put a message out there inside myself or said aloud to the universe to bring about the change I seek, and it usually works fairly fast. So try it this month. Keep affirming your intention with openness to what will come, and then see what happens. With strong internal energies running in people right now, this month will be a month of division. Dividing will be a big theme in relationships, inside the self for some, and noticing a division of experience between you and the person standing next to you. Those you are closely connected with, family and friends, may go through very different experiences of reality than you this month, and you will be in the orbit of their big changes. This is a month of big news and shock. Not necessarily for most of you listening to this, but for many around you. This is serving as a continuing pressure on us to continue with letting go. Those riding the wave of change this month will be those of you who have gotten good at, or were always good at, the art of letting go. And it is an art. Letting go at deep levels is challenging and tricky for human beings, unless they were raised to live by this universal truth. So with letting go being the overriding energy in November, why not, in this month, send love to the loved ones passed over or just passed who taught you about letting go? Just maybe take a moment to think if there's anyone in your life that taught you about letting go, whether a person who's passed from you or someone you don't see anymore. Just send some love to them. Wherever they are in the world. You don't have to make contact, you don't have to email them. Just feel some love in your heart for them. So, again this month you are asked to practice simplicity amid all these goings on. Focus on the important things like love, family and life connections. And creativity is at an all-time high this year as the energies moving through everybody need to be expressed. So, pick up that canvas, write that poem or make that documentary. You will breathe easier if you do. And for those of you working on bigger visions in your work or your personal life, remember one day and one task at a time is still generally the way to go. Big energies are still not greatly supported at this time, but the details are. The need for this step-by-step process will continue until the end of the year, certainly until mid-December. Okay, so that was the November energy forecast, and as I said, you can read that on my website, leeharrisenergy.com. So, it's a very interesting time to be alive, to say the least. I think so many people have so much going on at the moment and are immersed in this wave that I spoke about, this wave of energy which either takes you up or takes you down. But it certainly takes you somewhere. There are very few in the world right now who are having what I would call a static time, a time where not a lot's going on. And that isn't the case in the last few years always, so we definitely are ramping up towards 2012 energetically. And this month I decided it would be great to have a mainly questions and answers show. I've had a real response from all of you in this past month, so thank you for sending in the questions. You can send any question to me if you send it to lee@leeharrisenergy.com, and if you also CC in support@leeharrisenergy.com, that would be great. And each month I will pick as many universally relevant questions as I can, but please feel free to ask a personal question too, because while it's very important for us to look at events outside ourselves, those personal questions usually help other people listening who are going through a similar thing. So feel free to send me in any question for the show, and we'll put them in our list of questions for next month and future months, and thank you for doing that. But this month I have 8 questions I'm going to answer, so I thought we would answer a few beginning right away. So get comfortable, unless of course you're driving. I don't want you to get too comfortable. Stay fairly alert if you're on the road. Those of you at home, get comfortable with a drink or whatever it is that you're doing right now, and take a moment to see if any of these questions resonate for you. So here is the first question, and this is from Dorothy. Hi Lee, in the USA we appear to have become even more polarized. Some of the political candidates are filled with hatred and intolerance, yet appear likely to get elected. The most popular news station promotes lies and fear, and listeners don't appear open to another point of view. Many just cannot accept that we have a black president. Despite conventional wisdom, it appears that the party of fear, intolerance, and greed will regain control, at least in the Senate. Millions of dollars are pouring into organizations run by organizations to ensure that there is a change of power. Karl Rove's group, American Crossroads, is funded 97% by 4 billionaires, aiming at crushing candidates that are for the poor and middle class. Could you speak to where this energy is going? Will the USA continue to move in this direction, e.g. hate, intolerance, greed, and more families struggling to survive? Or will there be an awakening so that we can have more compassion as a nation for our neighbors? Well, this is a great question, Dorothy. It's one that covers many different sides of, I think, life in general. First of all, you know, our political candidates, they, as we know, are supposed to represent who we are as a people. So even if you don't like who you're seeing in power, they are to some degree a representation of what everyone agreed with, which I think is often a little scarier than just polarizing a candidate, you know, and blaming them for the changes they're making. It's a little more worrying how we as a large group will get behind ideas that aren't for the greater good. And I think that's the most important thing we can ever exercise in our power as human beings. We can add our voice to the consensus. So, for example, you sound like somebody who is a real advocate for change, and somebody who also is observing things going on that maybe not everyone around you will be observing. And while I'm sure there are some people who wouldn't want to hear your opinions because they don't really want to look at this issue, I imagine just you sharing your opinions with people is going to be really important. I think talking about politics is really important within communities, and also to never forget that people pressure politicians. People are the ones who politicians listen to and respond to. And I think the wake-up call that America has been going through I would say since 9/11 onwards, is still in its infancy in some ways. And that's not to say that the next 10 to 20 years can't get better, but I definitely think that America is going to go through a 3 to 5 year period from now of turmoil, but not turmoil that is more painful than it has already been, but turmoil that involves a lot more change. And I think Obama is a wonderful symbol of how that change is already in place in America, and he also is a strong enough candidate to be able to shoulder the inevitable backlash that would have gone against him from those who just weren't ready to accept that there would be a black president, that weren't ready to drop their racism. And of course, racism is just fear. You know, any kind of ism, whether it's homophobia, if you're against women, it's always just fear, and it's to do with fear of losing control and fear of losing power. So there is still a little bit of the slavery energy to be released in America. I mean, it's something that runs across the world, slavery energy. You can see it in all sorts of areas of life, to greater and lesser extremes. But I think Obama being in power has been an enormous healing in so many ways, and yet also I think what has been tricky for him is living up to people's expectations of him, which he was never going to manage. Now, the reason that in some ways the intolerance seems to be getting even higher, if you think about it, it makes total sense. The minute Obama was elected, all of those people who swore he would never get elected suddenly had to work even harder to try and create the reality they want. Now, what I will tell you is, what I can kind of get future-wise, is that while America is going to go through a difficult 3 to 5 years, 10 years from now it's going to have a much firmer and fairer structure in place. Now, you may go 10 years, that's years away. It is years away in some ways, but in other ways it will come around quickly, and you'll be seeing all of these changes going on over the coming years. The other thing to remember is that fear is at an all-time high in the people right now. So if they are unconscious in themselves about their own fear, then they will tune in on politics or a radio station as a way of aligning themselves with the vibration of fear that they're trying to process. So it's quite often, you know, that you meet people who are politically very opinionated, or they're very angry about a political candidate. And actually, if you normally dig in with those people, it's quite common that they're unconsciously angry about something else. And it's not that they're not angry with a politician, maybe, but there is an anger in them that birthed somewhere else, either with a previous authority figure, a parent, a teacher, someone who they feel abused them or didn't look after them in the right way. Or it can go back lifetimes. You know, you can be somebody who's here to stand for that cause. So the thing I will tell you is that the voices of hatred in America and intolerance tend to speak a lot louder than the voices of tolerance and peace. And they tend to speak in noisier, more frequent ways. But if you boil down what they're saying, they're really not saying anything. They're saying the same thing over and over again in a bunch of sentences that all add up to trying to judge or label or disempower the people they see as a threat to their supremacy. So my point here is, those voices and that intolerance that you're understandably a little nervous about and wishing wasn't there, is only about 20 or 30% the amount you think it is. And that will be the same for everyone listening. So if you have a belief that the world is, you know, there are this many people on this side of the fence politically and that many people on the other side, the people you believe are on what you would call, you know, the darker side of the fence, basically, that's an easy way of putting it. There are 20 to 30% of those people, and not the 100 that you're thinking, but they do speak very loudly. So what I would say to any of you who are listening to this and you feel very passionate about the political system, keep being a voice for it. For example, I have a few friends who keep me really updated on the political goings-on in the world by posting videos on their Facebook page, which may seem a really small thing, but with the advent of Facebook and YouTube connecting people on issues, suddenly the world is beginning to chime in on issues it didn't used to, and countries used to be a lot more separate. Now, this is partly why the polarization has taken place, because everybody is weighing in with their opinion. So those who have an opinion they are desperate to defend and they're not willing to let go of, they will shout loudly and kick and scream. These people will continue to kick and scream, and what you'll have to do is remain calm, present, and boundaried against their energies. And sometimes that might involve telling them to stop screaming at you if you're ever involved in a political argument with someone who's greatly angry about the way things are going. Then, you know, just make sure you don't engage with that anger. Make sure that you tell them that anger is not welcome with you. And in some ways, that's a sign to these politicians who are allowed to stand on a podium and shout angrily about other people that they then put out into the world through television or through media. The more every individual decides what they will and won't tolerate in attitudes of people around them, the more you affect the world. Don't be shy of telling people what your opinion is, even if it's someone really close to you and you know that they are more conservative, for example, in the way that they're looking at the world or the politics they want. Start speaking up for yourselves. That's the way that we will change the world. We will change the world by holding the energy that we want to see, as we know. So just really hold that in yourself and know that it will get better, but be prepared for a 3 to 5 year struggle. And then by about 10 years from now, things will be hitting a more even place. But America really wants to look at some of its stuff, and it's doing so very diligently. And yes, that's involving some arguments. So I hope that answer helps, because I'm aware that there's a lot in there and none of it's particularly black or white in the answer, but that's the answer that I received. So I hope that's in some way helpful to you and to anyone else who the topic was relevant to. Okay, second question comes from Kerry. I have been dealing with body image issues for a long time now, and just recently I've been working on it from a spiritual place, and I have had a lot of progress. There are a lot of various things I struggle with that all relate to and contribute to my body image issues as a whole, and one of the many things that I've struggled with was bulimia. I feel like I overcame that in particular by not doing it anymore, but the root cause of why I was bulimic is still there. I am releasing and healing all the time, but it always comes back and I have to do more work again and again. It's like an onion that I am slowly peeling the layers away of, but underneath one layer is just another deeper one. I know I've made progress on how much I love myself, but I so badly want this issue to no longer take up so much of my energy and thoughts. With the work I have done, what I came up with is that there is this anger inside me towards society because of the pressure to conform, to look a certain way, to fit society's label of attractive, to be loved. And in general, your thoughts from a spiritual place on this subject matter and in regards to bulimia in particular would be interesting to me. Okay, thank you for your question, Kerry. I think body image and body standards is something that so many of us have either dealt with in our past or deal with today. I think we are a very image-based society, just as we can be a very, you know, there are many different popular things in society, and I think this basis of image and judgment isn't very well supported by the kinds of magazines that get put out there. I had a very good friend who once showed me their Photoshop images. They were a person who works in Photoshop, which is the way that you can digitally correct and enhance photographs. So for example, if you had a lot of, let's say, age lines on your face, and you wanted to remove them, you could use this application Photoshop, which I know most of you will have heard of, to remove people's aging lines so that they look younger in the photograph. So you essentially doctor the photo. She once showed me some pictures of one of the top models in the world at the time that she had Photoshopped and done for a magazine, and I was really shocked at the original and the after. And this is what we're fed. If you look at magazines, we're fed illusionary images, but also images of the top athletes in the world, people who are exercising all the time. So there is a very distorted idea of what a good body image and what a bad body image is in our minds. That's the first thing I would say to you. Number two, we live in a society where addiction is quite rife. Addictive patterns are just patterns. Addictive emotions are what seed the pattern. So you've quite rightly said you're no longer bulimic yourself anymore, but you still have the underlying cause. So, for example, if being oversensitive to everybody around you and not feeling you could express with your own voice what you feel you want became your seed emotion, you might then turn to bulimia to comfort yourself, to binge eat. So that's the difference between the addictive pattern and the root cause of the addiction. And you're absolutely right about it's like an onion that you're slowly peeling the layers away from, because that tends to be how it works, to be honest. You know, I've been consciously healing myself, I guess, for 13, 14 years, very consciously, in terms of going to workshops, seminars, and then obviously halfway through that period I started working with people. So, but I would say to you, you know, there's constantly new layers of feeling coming through all the time for me on things that I haven't yet felt, or something from my past that will just pop back into my body for a second. And I find that the more you learn to trust your feelings and the more you surrender control in your healing and just go, I allow myself to heal, I allow myself to heal, I allow myself to heal, whatever needs to come up in you will come up. And I myself had bulimia for about an 18-month period in my late teens after being very overweight for many years. And although I stopped being bulimic by the time I was about 20 years old, it took me many, many years, and still to some degree I stay cognizant and aware of it these days. I kind of look at myself around addictive patterns and things just to kind of keep an eye on things based on my past. And I would say to you, it does take many years to go through the emotions and to really reclaim the part of yourself that the addiction took over. Because what tends to happen when we have a pattern like that is it creates a space inside us that when it's released, we then start to feel what we were trying to fill. So for you particularly, Kerry, I would say just first of all, congratulations, you stopped being bulimic. That's a real achievement, and so many people can't even achieve that. That's fantastic. So now just give yourself the time and the openness to heal the bulimia whatever way feels right. So whether that's through a multitude of things, including a good loving relationship, and recognizing in yourself that really how we look really is not that important. An enormous importance is placed upon it in society, which doesn't help anybody, because of course how you look really does not relate to how you love. And if you think about that for a second, think about when you first meet a partner, and at first, you know, you can just adore the way they look or be very attracted to the way they look, but there comes a point where the way they look becomes very secondary to your experience of being with them. And I'm sure you understand what I'm saying. You know, love really isn't about how somebody looks. It's about the way that you make someone feel when you're with them and the way that you feel when you're with somebody. You know, and that's the core principle of friendship, of work love, of relationship love. So love is the most important thing. And I find that when you're able to let go of giving yourself a hard time about the pattern, because one of the things that eating disorders do is they're a real internalizing of your pain. And what tends to happen for those of us who've had an eating disorder or have one is that you then have to look at where you judge yourself very harshly for doing it, because that in itself becomes the cycle. So if you want to look at eating disorders in a bigger way, any of you, I did actually do a recording called Eating Disorders, A Healing Journey, which is available through my website. And that's an MP3 in which I do a journey through releasing the energy of an eating disorder, but also talk a little bit about how they arrive, and it might interest some of you. So you can check that out at my website. It's called Eating Disorders, A Healing Journey. Okay, and Kerry, I hope that helps, but I think overall, be very aware of this societal pressure, because the question I would ask you is that the kind of society you want to be around? And for example, if I went to a party where there was a pressure on me to be dressed a certain way and look a certain way, I'm not really going to enjoy myself. That's the truth. If I go to a party where there's no pressure on me apart from to turn up as myself, dress the way I want to dress, and enjoy myself, then I'm going to have a good time. And that's the kind of society I'm looking for and hoping to be a contributing part of. So I would give the same advice to you, and just be aware of judgments, be aware of the people around you who would be judgmental. So, we are now going to listen to a song that I really love. It's by Bonnie Waters, who is an artist I first became aware of a few years ago, and I really love Bonnie's music. And this is a song of hers called Lighthouse. I hope you enjoy. You have just been listening to Lighthouse by Bonnie Waters, and she is available at bonniewaters.com, where you can see more of her music, sign up for her newsletter, and I hope you enjoyed. I hope you're bearing with my voice, guys. It's very difficult. I don't quite know how to clear my nose any more than I already have, but I'm hoping that what I'm saying is making sense and I'm not sounding harder to understand than usual. Okay. So let's move on to some more questions. This is a very interesting question to me. After investing 2 years in a community service project about death and the financial side of final arrangements, I feel comfortable disconnecting from the topic and closing the door. What makes me uncomfortable is that I felt called by spirit to produce this project. Now I feel ready to let it go. I know how spirit works in my life, and I get promptings that will not be denied. There was no denying the start and completion of this DVD, but now it's finished, I'm not being prompted to market it. I'm wondering, did I meet the request of spirit, or did I fumble in some way with this very unusual assignment? Do you have any guidance for those of us that stay open to promptings and direction from spirit but end up questioning the end results of our actions? Yeah, I do actually, and it's a fairly simple thing, and it's something I've had to learn to live by myself. Again, it's really about letting go, and it's about being able to trust that you were guided to do something for a period of time, and that you won't always know the end outcome, certainly not if it's something that the end outcome is a year or two down the line, and it might be that you were meant to be part of the starting of something, but not the finishing of something, and being okay with that can be an adjustment if you're somebody who has really cared for and guided a project. But more than anything at this time, light workers are being asked to be adaptable. And if you haven't already in the last few years had many opportunities to try and let go of things that you thought were very close to you or that you were holding dear to, then this looks like one of your opportunities to do that. The other thing I would say is trust yourself. You might put this aside and feel that you don't want to market it, but 4 or 5 months from now, you might suddenly wake up one day and have an idea or a desire to do just that. Or somebody might come along who has a great idea of the way to do it, and that might just very organically happen. If not, it will be the case that you've created something that somebody is going to do something with at the right time. So I wouldn't put it completely in a box, i.e. I would still talk about it, that you've done it, and I would still feel free to be an ambassador for what you've created for a marketing person to come along and maybe be the person who wants to run with it. Or just give yourself permission to sit back on it for a while. You certainly haven't done anything wrong. And the very idea that you could do something wrong with a spirit-given assignment is one to just let go of too, because you're a lot more in charge of this than you realize. We work with spirit, we're not working for spirit, and I think sometimes people can believe you're working on behalf of or in service to spirit. But to believe that specifically about a certain idea that you have of life is usually because you believe it's a very good thing that you're doing that's going to impact society. For example, the day that you have an argument with your father that you're really not comfortable having and that you wish hadn't happened, and that doesn't leave either of you in a very good place for a few days, that's also you being in service to spirit. Because in that moment, your father's and your spirit decided to get into an argument that wasn't very pleasant for both of you, but that moved some energy for both of you, and that usually allows you to move forward to a better relationship. Whether it's one that has firmer boundaries, one where you can see more of each other because you're clearer, or one where you choose that you're going to see a bit less of each other and not put this pressure on each other to be best friends, but just to accept what's there in the relationship. So I think often when you're guided to create something channeled or from spirit, it can be very wonderful to feel good about that. But I think in order to live as a grounded human being and to have the life that you came here to have, it's important to be able to see the day that you're cleaning the kitchen as the spirit-based activity for that moment too. And I do understand that you're not somebody who necessarily is putting on a pedestal these idea of spirit-based things, but I'm just gently suggesting it's a good way to look at life. And for you, because you are someone who's very responsible to things that are good being put into the world, and if you can help do that, then you're wonderful and very happy at doing that, then I think it's important for you to recognize that you will birth something else as well if you fail to finish this now. You are someone who I would call a multiple birther, someone who's going to create many things over the years that will help your community and the world at large, as well as yourself and the development of your own life. And that's an amazing experience to have in life. I think that's the perfect balance. So I hope that helps, and I hope that helps those of you who've pondered on the same thing. Okay, now we have a question from Cosmina. Thank you, Cosmina. How can I make it easier for me to fully enjoy myself in all areas, especially intimately, and also enjoy another who is already in my life and goes on the path of integration as well, when I have these wounds, these aspects from past lives coming up from time to time? I do breathe. I do enjoy life too. Recently I've discovered new levels of joy that have allowed me to believe and truly believe that I'm approaching a life without suffering. And as you know, this is a big thing. But then a huge boulder fell on me, the sweet ups and downs. I get these images, these obsessing images about my partner being with someone else. I know they are aspects and past lives, but they are so damn painful and seem so real. They show me what they have been through. I know they seek resolution, but I can't seem to unlock myself so that I can allow them to integrate, to feel me, to feel the new way. Well, first and foremost, just before we go into any of the details, I would literally, as we said earlier, you know, just make an intention. So say, I allow myself to heal these wounds. I allow myself to effortlessly and easily integrate these wounds. And be willing to allow that to take, you know, one day, one week, one month, one year, one decade. Allow it to take as long as it takes, because then you don't get caught up in a struggle. Because once you've made an intention like that, you will do it as fast as you can and as comfortably as you can. And I think, you know, you've made an interesting point. I think when you do have an intimate partner in your life, it actually allows you to get in touch with the wounds in a bigger way, because you have this shared love with someone that can sometimes be the thing that you're yearning for if you're single. and the thing that you're seeing as missing, so that then when you get that love, you actually find out that you have everything that you kind of wanted, and then you start to look at the parts of you that can't enjoy it to the fullest. So first of all, Cosmina, give yourself a break, which is a theme for all of us, you know. Really allow yourself to see how brilliant it is that you can write a sentence to me that says, I've recently discovered new levels of joy that allowed me to truly believe I'm approaching life without suffering. And that is a reality. We can all experience a level of freedom emotionally, internally, once we reach this very unattached state. That can take many, many years, or it can take months for some people. It really depends on who you are and what your life choices are and what you want. So give yourself a break, first of all. But secondly, you know when you're talking about the past lives feeling damn painful and so real? Well, that's because they are real. You know, those feelings that you feel as real are real feelings that you're experiencing. So don't give yourself a hard time on that either. It can be very tough to get used to this path of integration once you start moving fast and once you start having things like past lives come in. But if you are ever struggling on a day, just remember that you can focus on doing nice things on that day to make yourself feel better. You're already very activated in terms of your self-healing, so you don't need to throw more energy at it. So on a day that you're struggling, just focus on doing nice things, things that make you feel good, that give you good well-being. And if you really want to try and shift the energies, sit and really feel what you're feeling as much as you can. Use crystals, use incense, have some nice music. Or, if it's painful, make an intention for the pain to release. Command and ask of yourself, I would like this to move. I think one of the things that happens is we go in this dance of awakening and opening between conscious and unconscious realities, and you have this conscious awakening around something in your life, and then you step back a little bit into your unconscious to try and clean out your unconscious more so that your unconscious becomes clear. And so you can always bring yourself back to consciousness. You can always go, I choose to be conscious. Yes, I'm in pain, but it will pass. This is a past life aspect. I choose for this aspect to not run through my body so painfully. I choose for my body to be able to handle this. I choose to integrate the gift of this quickly. Try using some of those commands or your own variations, and I think it will help move things quicker. Okay, thank you, Cosmina. Now we have the final two questions coming up. So here is from question from Ansara. If a being is self-realized and androgynous in their energy, what would be the basis of our impetus for interaction with a mate? Well, good point. If we are someone who is whole and complete inside, why would we interact with a mate? Well, it's the human experience. So for example, if we were living on a desert island on our own, we would have a very different relationship with ourselves. I don't know if any of you have seen that movie Castaway with Tom Hanks. I really loved that film. I thought it was quite amazing and quite an amazing journey to take to experience what it could be like to suddenly go from a busy life with a partner and friends and a job to being dropped on a desert island completely on your own and living there for a few years. And I thought that was a wonderful insight into the deepening relationship he then got with himself when he was removed from everyone else. But while we are in community and while we are in relationships and partnerships, we're just looking to expand a bit. You know, it's really that simple. The journey of human evolution is one that at this time on Earth, because we have the luxury, those of us in the Western world, of having so many of our basic needs taken care of. You can't say that about every country on Earth at the moment. So, you know, we're very lucky in that sense and privileged that we get to have that experience. But I think the other side is recognizing that the evolution that we're all trying to give each other through a partnership is sharing our energy with someone else and having them share their energy with us so that we improve ourselves somewhat, either improving our experience of life, improving the way of being. For example, if you have a partner who is wonderful socially with other people and great at talking to people at parties and you're terrible at that, you know, you're very shy, just being with that partner is not only going to give you an example of how to make that experience easier for you. You know, you might not become the most gregarious person because that might not be you, but it might make you more comfortable with being in social situations because you will not only have your partner demonstrating how it's done, but standing next to your partner while your partner's creating this comfort and ease with people around you is going to give you an opportunity to experience the energy of ease when with others socially, which is something you're not very used to. So a partner gives you an opportunity to become more of them, in a way, and vice versa. And so this love energy gets shared and exchanged. It's not necessary to have a partner. You could walk around the world having relationships with everyone if you still needed relationships to grow. And as we know, there are a large number of people on Earth who quite enjoy their own company or would rather spend time in nature or with the animal kingdom than they would with human beings. And that's who they are and where they're resonating at. So we are self-realized and androgynous in our energy at source. However, I think the human game does not teach us that we are self-realized and androgynous. The societal programming that most of us grew up under tells us that we are of a community and that we are one thing or another, usually defined by our gender. Now that's gratefully and happily breaking down now, especially when you have more same-sex relationships, people beginning to understand this idea of male and female energy a bit more, and that we all have it in us, whether we're a man or a woman. So that would be the basis of your impetus for interaction with a mate. It's to grow, to experience, to have that experience of growth through connecting with another physically realized soul, physically realized energy, seeing what that's about, because that's the new experience for us as souls on Earth. Great question. Thanks, Ansara. Okay, and the final question this month comes from Barbara. I have an adult son whose life is suddenly, as far as we know, spinning out of control. For more than 30 years, he has held a very responsible professional position. As his mother, my heart is broken as he has cut off all communication with his family. I feel helpless and constantly worry about his safety. What can you tell me? Okay, well, this is a very difficult for you all. I can feel the energy of it as I'm asking the question. And it's very hard when a loved one that you have a free-flowing energy with suddenly shuts you out, and especially when they're dealing with a lot of darkness. But what I can tell you, Barbara, is your son is very strong and is not looking to give up on life, which is something that sometimes goes on with people who shut everyone out. He's trying to find his way back. He's trying to find his way back, and he's doing it in a very kamikaze way, and it's very chaotic, and it's going to be messy for a while with him. Certainly for the next 1 to 2 months, it's going to be a messy period in his life. But by about February, there is a strong sense that his energy will be returning and that he will start to be getting himself back on track. That's the potential at the moment based on timelines. The thing for you to understand is, while some of the conversations that you have had or that you could have with him in the future will be leveled at you, so you will be one of the people who are blamed for what's going on in him, it's far bigger than you, and it's far bigger than some of the dynamics that he will be blaming in his life for his behavior. It's very tricky when you suddenly see somebody that you love go to this place, because it's a place that you actually physically can't join them in. So there's a lot of pain and there's a lot of grief because you have to let them go. It's literally like a bereavement when someone shuts you out like this, and especially when you know they're in a hard place. And as a mother, even if you don't always know what to do, your overriding instinct is to try and help. The best help you can give him is to daily send him a bit of love. So sit and meditate and send him some love and just send him some support and just make an affirmation to the universe. I ask the universe to help my son today. I ask the universe to bring some light to my son today. So very privately, without him even knowing, do these daily meditations to send him some energy. You could just do them for 5 minutes at a time, once or twice a day, and it will make a difference. Number two, for yourself, cry as much as you need. Don't be ashamed of crying. Don't see crying as negative. Don't see crying as, when will this end? Because actually, you're releasing grief that will allow him to come back to you. So the grief that you release in yourself allows him to release some of the grief he's holding, so that if he succeeds in lightening all of this, when he comes back to you, your grief is going to be a bit lighter. The tricky thing for you is this is far bigger than you, yet you will get very overwhelmed by your own emotions when you're around him or in communication with him because of the size of the effect it's having on you. And what I would ask you to do is just forgive yourself as a mother. You know, don't go down that road of blaming yourself or beating yourself up, because that's a complete no-go road. It doesn't help him, it doesn't help you. In fact, it kind of opposite for both of you. So if you catch yourself doing the blaming yourself thing, just let that go, because that's not going to help anybody. And if you can't let that go, ask yourself why. Who was it who would have blamed you hard in your life? And just look at your relationship with your own mother there. And just, you know, forgive her and forgive yourself for being on the receiving end of that. But really with your son, just give him time and space, but don't lose communication with him beyond the level of communication he doesn't want with you. So if he's willing to receive an email or a phone call from you once a month or once every 3 weeks, then find out what the parameters are and serve those so that he knows that you're there. But just then let him be and keep telling him in your heart that you're there for him. Because unfortunately he's going through the wave of change that I was talking about, but I get the sense that he's got a lot backed up from many, many years, and the patterns of behavior that he exhibited in childhood, he's kind of run with a bit through his adult life, and they've all built up. But he is a strong character, and that's also why sympathy for him or worry for him, he smells that the minute you get near him with those energies, and he just wants to push you away. So be aware of that. You know, try and be strong when you deal with him, and try and deal with him adult to adult, one adult listening to another adult having an adult problem, rather than a mother to an adult son who's having an adult problem. The more you can kind of avoid childhood dynamics with him, the better, because he doesn't need that right now. I hope that helps with your question. And I just want to very quickly answer one other question, which I know is against my own rules, but I'm involved in several organizations and initiatives regarding global warming. There is much information circulating that seems to minimize the importance of this issue. Can you shed some light on this subject? This came from Barbara also, and I just thought it was a good question. Over the coming years, there are going to be lots of changes that help with global warming. We're already beginning to see them start to creep out. The awareness society has that we need to make changes and we need to act now is really important. But the blame that society has on itself is entirely counterproductive. So any blame or judgment on the way that we've treated the planet for hundreds of years, it's just going to do us all in, basically, and it won't put any good energy towards what we need to do now, which is start to look at the future differently. So again, holding a positive energy in this area and knowing that the solutions are going to come, because they are. And if you're somebody who's very passionate about it, great, you're one of the ambassadors for the message. So work with a local group or do something that helps you get the message out to people. Because if you feel very activated around the environment, trust that activation. You're one of the spokespeople and one of the ambassadors to carry the wave of change. So I hope that helps. Well, it's been lovely to spend this time with you all. I thank you for your patience with my cold, and I hope that it's okay. And I will look forward to seeing you all on the first Sunday of December. And in the meantime, this month, I'm off to Norway. I'm going to Bergen to run an evening and a full day event, and I'm very excited. This is on November the 19th and the 20th. So if any of you listening are in the area or near the area and feel to come, we still have places left. And that's all available through my website, leeharrisenergy.com. And as ever, you can book a one-hour session with me, either through phone or through video Skype. All details are on my website. But in the meantime, I hope you all have a great month. Lots and lots of love to you. And to finish off today's show, I'm going to play you a song by Gerhard Fankhauser and Einat Gilboa from their album Fata Morgana. I first met these guys at the Crimson Circle event a few years ago when I was a speaker there, and they were playing music, and they're great, really fantastic music. So this is a song from their album Fata Morgana, and it's called Govinda. To hear more from either of them, go to healingworldmusic.com. But lots of love to all of you, and see you next month.
You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at loaradionetwork.com. Thank you for joining us on Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. For more information, go to Law of Attraction Radio Network at lawofattracttalkradio.com or lawofattractiontools.com.